More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, you need to hear this. It's someone you care about just not listening. We want to help you break through those barriers to building better communication. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, you need to hear this. We're talking about communication and those times when we just feel like that person just isn't listening. Like they don't get it. Like if they just would really hear what we were saying, they would finally stop being dumb. You know?
I think everybody knows that everybody's had someone in their life in that way. And now I really have to say this is true, that we've got, it's multi-layered now, the not listening. There's the, I really need you to hear my heart, my soul, my needs, whatever that is, and you're not listening. And now we're also dealing with a plague of distractedness, where people aren't hearing the simplest things we're saying because they're staring at a screen and their brains are just offline. So it's, if you can't trust somebody to even hear you to say, it's time for dinner, or could you take out the garbage, or I'm leaving now for my appointment, and they just, you get nothing, then we lose the trust that they're ever going to hear anything that's meaningful to us. So there's this vicious cycle of not being heard going on in our society today, where I think it's worse than it's ever been.
I'm sorry, were you saying something?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, see what I did there? 877-573-7825. The show today titled, You Need to Hear This. And we're talking about those times when you just don't feel like that person you're trying to connect with is really hearing you. You know, is there someone in your life who just won't listen, no matter how many times you try to get through? Maybe it's your spouse. And every important conversation turns into an argument. Or it's your teen, who shuts down and rolls their eyes the second you open your mouth. Or an adult child, or a parent, or sibling, friend. And there's a wall between you and them that you just don't know how to get past. Maybe you've tried explaining yourself, tried staying calm, tried everything you can think of. And you're just starting to wonder if it's really worth trying anymore. Or maybe it's the other way around, you know, and someone's accusing you of not listening. And, you know, it's not maybe because you don't want to, but because you really don't understand how to hear what they're really trying to tell you. You know, sometimes we're in that position too. Try as we might, we can't get them. Well, whatever barrier is coming between you and someone you care about, let us help you break through it and start really hearing each other again on our show titled, You Need to Hear This. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. And as I'm reflecting on this, I mean, there are so many times when this happens. Even, you know, I'm allegedly a professional communicator, right? I mean, I'm both on the radio and as a counselor, but that doesn't mean that there aren't times when I have a hard time getting someone to listen or understand where I'm coming from, or where I'm struggling to understand them. But you know, I remember every time I talk about this topic, though, I reflect back on a time when I was talking with a friend who was kind of struggling in their faith, and I was trying to be helpful, you know, and I was really trying to listen, and respond to their questions. But the way I was doing it wasn't necessarily the best way. And I was grateful for this person's friendship because he said to me at some point, you know, Greg, I'm starting to feel like you're making me into a project.
Instead of a person.
Yeah, and that really resonated for me.
Didn't only resonate for you in that moment. It's sort of become like your check engine light now. He gave you such wisdom in that moment that in every, we're all dealing with the smoke in this part of the country. In every interaction, in every relationship you have now, you kind of check yourself against that. It was real and very true wisdom.
Yeah, and so I think that's something we can all take to heart, you know, in this desire to be heard. And we'll talk about this more in our reflection. But in our desire to be heard, we need to remember to treat other people not as projects that we're trying to fix or change or manipulate in some way to get what we want, but to really see them as persons and to pursue that sense of understanding, that desire for understanding in a sense where we want to understand others too. But let's talk more about that today on More to Life, 877-573-7825. If you're having a hard time getting somebody to really hear what you're trying to say, the needs you're trying to communicate, the thoughts or feelings you're trying to share, let's talk it out. Or if someone is accusing you of not listening to them, let's talk about how to bridge the gap, 877-573-7825. Of course, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And you can reasonably wonder, well, how could some theology possibly help me deal with communication breakdowns? Well, St. John Paul asked a big question when he was Pope. He basically said, you know, what would it mean for a Catholic person to thrive? What is the Catholic vision of living an abundant life? What's the Catholic vision of having exceptional, healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what people now call the theology of the body.
And that theology of the body reminds us that we were created for communion. We long to be heard, seen, and understood. But after the fall, something broke. Our longing to be understood eclipsed our willingness to do the work involved in truly understanding others. People demanded to be heard, but no one was willing to listen. By the time we got to the Tower of Babel, humanity was stuck in a terminal spiral of misunderstanding.
And, you know, when we feel misunderstood, as sort of we were suggesting, excuse me, I'm sorry, the smoke really is bothering both of us
today. It really is.
You know, our tendency is to double down and insist that the other person really should listen to what we're truly trying to say. And while it's true that we have a God-given right to be heard, the irony is that we can only achieve that goal by mastering the art of listening.
And listening doesn't require us to ignore our needs or, listen to this, hide our opinions. It gives us the power to see why some things that we're saying might not be landing the way we'd like them to. And it helps us to understand what challenges might need to be addressed as we try to meet our needs and address our concerns. So we can be sensitive, compassionate, and helpful to others along the way.
So if you really want someone to hear you, especially in those times when it seems like they just don't want to understand, the best thing to do is to get curious about them first. Assume that they're not trying to be difficult, but that they're trying to communicate a need or a concern that you just haven't understood yet. You know, instead of doubling down on your interpretation of things, ask, can you help me understand what you're hearing me say? Or instead of demanding that they meet your need, back off a minute and say, can you help me understand how you think that helping me with this could actually make things harder on you? You know, when the other person finally feels heard, you'll be amazed to see the walls come down. And for the first time, you might feel heard too.
Which would be optimal.
You know, and that's that mutual self-giving that St. John Paul talks about in his theology of the body as the basis for healthy Christian relationships. And that sounds great on paper, but then you get into it with somebody, and that's where things get complicated. And so we're asking you, is there someone you're struggling to communicate with, to feel like you're being heard by them, or to help them feel like you're listening to them? 877-573-7825. Who are you struggling to talk with, to share your needs with, to express concerns with, who just isn't getting it? no matter what you do.
And it can be in any kind of conversation. It can be those basic, we need to get tasks done today conversation, and you're feeling like everything's always up to you because nobody ever hears what you're saying to them. Or it can be those really deeper conversations about your well-being, your spiritual well-being, what you need from your relationship with them, what your faith says about something in your life or theirs, that you're just not connecting the way you need to and want to. So let us help you out with all of that today and find some of those ways to connect and to bring God's grace into your relationship and into your conversations. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. That's 877-573-7825.
And let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we bring to you those people that we're having a hard time communicating with, those people that we're struggling to feel like they're just not listening, and we're having a hard time communicating our needs or expressing a concern, sharing our thoughts or our feelings, or even trying to help. And those efforts are being rejected. Lord, it's hard to want to feel connected to another person and to not make that connection happen. And so we ask you to help us to know how to respond to that frustration, that irritation, that sense of separation that exists in those times when we don't feel understood or we're struggling to understand someone we care about. Help us to take to heart the lessons from your servant, St. John Paul, who reminds us that if we want to be understood, we need to first work to understand and to be mutually self-giving so that we can find ways to express our needs, our opinions, our concerns in ways that are truly respectful and supportive of the other person's growth as well. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And
in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, you need to hear this. You know, is somebody you care about just not listening? They're just not getting it, no matter how you try. Well, we want to help you break through those barriers and enable you to build better communication. 877-573-7825.
Well, we have a question here from Danielle, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Indiana, and I think a lot of wives can relate to this. She says, every time I try to talk to my husband about something that's bothering me, he goes straight to fix-it mode. I barely get two sentences out, and he's already telling me what I should do. I don't want a solution. I just want him to understand how I feel first. When I tell him that, he says I'm being unfair to him because he's just trying to help. I know he means well, but I've started keeping things to myself because it's easier than feeling brushed aside. How do I get him to just listen before he jumps into fixing?
Okay, I thank you, Danielle, for your question, and I'm so sorry that that's been your experience, and I know that, as you said, Lisa, there are a lot of wives.
So many.
Before I address your specific question, though, Danielle, I want to actually address the conventional knowledge here, okay? Because immediately we go to, well, this is just a typical difference between men and women.
Yes, I'm glad.
But here's the thing, all right? I want you to. This is the same dynamic that exists between moms and kids.
Ooh.
Right, let me sit with that, all right? Because what happens, right? And dads and kids too. I'm not pinning this on moms, but I'm trying to say this is not just a female thing. This is a problem that exists anytime we don't see the other person as a person, but we see them as a project. And men in particular struggle with this because we're treated as projects from childhood.
Wow, that is very true. And often men get into professions and things where it's all about proving yourself by fixing something, doing something, producing something.
Yeah, but the reason we do that is because we're treated as projects.
Because you've been raised like that since
you were
little,
right? Yeah, and women, honestly, in contemporary times, women more so too. Girls are being raised this way now as well. But historically, you know, men were just given any kind of approval for what they accomplished, right? Yeah. And so we really just saw ourselves as projects, and if somebody comes to us with a problem, that's a project, and we're going to solve the project. That's not a man thing. That's a I see myself as a project and I see you as a project thing. And so this is just as true for women, especially when you see your kid, not as a person, but as a project. And they come to you and you want to just fix the problem and they just want to feel like I've been
close
heard.
Close to you and heard and, so, and understood.
So sure. I just feel like I had to start there because we all kind of go with the
eyeballs. Oh,
insightful. This is just a man thing. Oh, yeah. This is just a woman. No, it's the temptation for anybody to see the other person as a real person who needs to be heard, not as a problem that needs to be solved. And depending on the context, women can do this too. So the answer there is in what I just said, right? When you're talking with your husband about this, I think you might run into a little bit of frustration, not because he doesn't want to give you what you're looking for, but because, like most men, he's used to being treated like a project. And so he responds to you in care as a project. And he's going to feel like, it's dumb for me to just kind of like empathize with you. Like, why would you want that?
It doesn't get you anywhere. I don't see the result in that. It doesn't fix your problem.
But I think that by helping him say, you know, look, there are different kinds of help. Okay. There's help with the project. And sometimes I might need you to help me with that. But then there's also help in just kind of getting to a place where I can think through something. And I just need you to sort of sit with me and be there and help me to come to that place.
Now, I'm going to jump in and say, have this conversation when you don't have a problem. When you two can just sit, you know, on the porch or in the living room or in the car when you're driving around without the kids if you're out, and explain this to him in a way where you're not in the middle of dealing with something. So you're not emotionally revved up. You're not talking about a particular problem and then saying, but just listen to me. You really want to be able to lay this down in a very calm way where he doesn't have to feel torn between fixing whatever problem you're going through in the moment or listening and trying to relearn this skill or learn it for the first time.
But I would say that, you know, if you're struggling to make this conversation happen, and in fact, I'd encourage you to download the podcast of the show, this episode in particular, play it for your husband.
Let Greg explain.
Yeah. Let me take the heat for you. And really just, you know, use this as a springboard for the conversation. But I would also say that if you're struggling to have the discussion or the two of you, even after listening to the podcast, are having a hard time kind of understanding how to get to this place, then that's an opportunity to seek some counseling, because you can not only learn the skill of more effective communication and empathic connecting through communication, but also kind of reconnect with that human part of yourselves that allows you to really be in relationship to each other instead of seeing each other as those projects that need to be fixed. And I want to, you know, start with this, Danielle. I'm not excusing, I'm not saying he doesn't have to learn this skill, I'm not saying that it's okay, that this is the dynamic, but I want you to understand this is not a rejection of you, okay? This is just an effect of feeling like I don't know how to relate to this other person as a person. I see them more as kind of this project, and we do that with our kids too, right? So, you know, just try to connect with that idea, that temptation that you have yourself to kind of sometimes turn other people into projects, and see where that's coming from. It's coming from an honest place. It's coming from a place where you're trying to be helpful. You really are trying to be there. It's just not the way they need to have you there. Right. So try to talk through that together, and if you need more support, then reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'd be happy to help more with that. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. Today's show titled, You Need to Hear This, is someone you care about just not listening. They're just refusing to hear what you're saying. Maybe you're trying to help them, and they're not taking your help. Maybe you're trying to convey your concerns, and they're just not listening. Maybe you're trying to tell them what you need, and they don't want to hear it for some reason. How do you break through? Or maybe they're accusing you of not hearing what they're trying to say. And you're really trying, but you just don't get it. What's the next step? Let's figure it out together. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Rachel Watkins. She's the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. She's going to be talking about those times when we as parents don't feel listened to by our kids. I know that never happens to you, but it's happened to me once or twice. And she's going to share some advice on how to overcome that. Stick around for that and a whole lot more with your calls coming up after the break.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. you may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, you need to hear this. I mean, yes, you need to hear the show, but in addition to that, we're talking about communication. And if someone you care about is struggling to hear what you're trying to say, we want to help you bridge those barriers to building better communication. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins. She is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. Hey, Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Lisa.
And now, I am sure that every single one of your 11 children,
all of them,
listens 100% of the time.
They just are in lockstep, like Little Sound of Music children. Yeah. They're perfect, right?
No, absolutely. Ha, ha, ha.
So what do you do? Because you have raised them all beautifully. You had to get through them not listening, you getting aggravated. Give us some tips today.
Well, the first tip I want to give is a problem I had. I have and continue to struggle with dumping everything that's in my head onto the person in front of me. With my children, it's, oh, we have to clean this and don't forget that. And did you get to your bedroom? And what about, no one can handle that. What we have to do is, especially with our children, take it one at a time in regard, whatever it is. Honey, go find your shoes. Then when the shoes are found, do you know where your backpack is? But too often we heap onto our kids and they're overwhelmed. Their little brains can't handle it. So when you want to talk to your children and convey something very important, take it one at a time. Honey, I need you to go pick up your bedroom. And then you say, what did I ask you to do? And ask them to repeat it back. You told me to go pick up my bedroom. You know, and that's how it's going to happen. But if you do it one at a time, you have their attention. You have their eyesight. You're doing it when they are paying attention to you, not their phone, not their video game, not their book. Honey, I need your eyes. The second piece of advice is, do you have a routine to these chores you're asking your kids to do? Chores can fall into a great routine when your family has a routine. For example, in my family, I want the dishes, who's ever putting away the dishes, I need it done before mom makes dinner. That's the rule. So if they want to do it after they're done with their breakfast, like during the summertime or before lunch, whatever, but I need it done before, in my house, about 4 o'clock so that mom is working in a kitchen with the dishes put away. Do you have even a chore chart? Do you have something to back up what you're asking for? Remember, we had
that visual reminder is important. I want to say, you know, never just expect that they're going to read the chore chart, even if they're 20, and check things off. It's a skill that you build, but it helps to have those visual reminders for both of you.
Exactly. And the other thing you can do, especially when your kids are older, engage them in the process. Respect their time. They have things they want to do, whether it's play with a friend or go to sports practice, so you can pose it as the question. Your bedroom is really looking like a disaster. When do you think you'll be able to get to it? And hold them to it. Set a time, and they can tell you. Say, great, I'll put that on the calendar as a little reminder for you.
And yeah, so you're respecting their autonomy in that and their time, but you're making them commit to doing what your need is, fulfilling that need.
Exactly. And so what we can do with chores in particular is to also remember our involvement in it. Too oftentimes we can view our kids, I'm sorry to say this, as little automaton robots who do whatever we tell them to, and when we tell them to, because I told them to. But when we work together, when I'm in the room helping with the basement, tidying up, when I'm in the kitchen with them, music can happen, but you'd be surprised at the conversations that happen with you and your kids. When they're distracted as they wipe down the bathroom and stuff, all of a sudden they're being taught by me how to do it well, but then they're telling me something that's been on their heart. So don't check out when it's chore time. Don't say, great, a time for me to go dive into my phone or be distracted by something on my tablet. I can be with them for those times to teach them how to do it well, reward them and compliment them for the hard work they're giving to the family, and listen to them and what's going on in their lives.
Rachel, thank you so much for being with us and reminding us as parents of how to really get our kids to listen, and that it takes a little more from us than we are often tempted to want to give. But when we make that connection, then we can really be heard. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I encourage them to go to beholdpublications.com to learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club. That's beholdpublications.com. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825 about communication.
What is the great mystery of the Christian faith? It is, of course, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Even though the resurrection is an historical fact professed by the apostles and signified by the empty tomb, no one knows the exact hour Jesus emerged from the tomb. There were no eyewitnesses to describe the actual moment, only the result, the live appearances of Jesus to his disciples. It is an event that transcends and surpasses history, the Catholic Catechism tells us. The three persons of the Trinity, using their individual characteristics, acted as one in bringing about the resurrection. God the Father raised up the Son. God the Holy Spirit gave life to Jesus' dead humanity and called it to the glorious state of lordship. The Son effects his own resurrection by virtue of his divine power. He predicted the Passion and declared that he had the power to lay down his life and take it up again. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
He always starts with the good things. You know, the seven letters to the churches and the book of Revelation is a great way to write letters to other people, by the way, or to have conversations with other people. You start with what's going well. You do this, this, and this really well. I love it. Thank you. Here's what you're lacking. And I think for many of us as men, what the Lord's communicating at that second part of the letter or the second part of the conversation is, here's what we're lacking. You don't ever spend enough time with me. You have no idea what I'm trying to offer you in the gift of my friendship. Or if you do, you don't make time for it. And if you would but come to me, I would change your life like that. But you don't come. Not with the regularity that I want you to come. Not with the ardor and the fervor and the passion that I want you to come. I have a hunch, more than a hunch, that's what he says to me. And I got a hunch that's what he would say to many of us.
You know that person who just gets under your skin? The one where you've tried being patient, tried to be kind, tried praying about it, and you still end up frustrated every single time. In my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, I explain that true Christian love doesn't mean endlessly absorbing another person's bad behavior. Loving someone means working for their ultimate good, and sometimes the most loving thing we can do is set a boundary that says, I want a relationship with you, but I can't pretend that what's happening between us is okay. Setting a healthy boundary is like locking a door to an unsafe staircase. You're not shutting the person out, you're keeping everyone safe. Failing to set an appropriate boundary in a relationship is like not doing your best to prevent someone from walking down those unsafe stairs. In either case, you're not working for their good, and that's just not loving. For more tips on finding peace with the difficult people in your life, see my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, you need to hear this. Not just the show, but we're talking about those times when you're having a hard time getting someone to hear you. Are you struggling to get someone to accept your help? To respond to your needs? To listen to your concerns? To just understand where you're coming from? If so, give us a call. Let's talk it out. We can find ways to break through those barriers to better communication and help you be heard. Or if you're on the other end, when somebody's accusing you of not really listening to what they're saying and you just don't know how to get to where they want you to be, well, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Before we answer our next question, we want to celebrate another EWTN affiliate who is celebrating a benchmark anniversary. WCLP FM 98.3, serving Lake Placid, New York, has been on the air now for 10 years.
Congratulations to Deacon John Fellner and everyone at Light of Truth Ministries from all of us here at EWTN Radio. And folks, wherever you are tuning in to EWTN Radio, make sure you're supporting your local EWTN Radio affiliate with your prayers, with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN Catholic Radio going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you and all the people you love and live in a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. And again, many thanks and congratulations to Deacon John Fellner and his team at Light of Truth Ministries and to everybody who makes EWTN Radio possible, particularly you, the listener.
Amen to that.
With that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Is there somebody you're having a hard time getting to listen to you? Let's talk about how to break through those barriers to better communication.
Well, we have a question here from Shannon. She doesn't say where she's listening, but we're grateful that she is. She says, my husband's mother chose, in big letters, to live 45 minutes from us and 65 minutes from her daughter, so that we would not be able to visit too often, just drop by, or ask her help with the grandchildren. Well, the grandkids are now grown, and my mother-in-law is 80, and she needs assistance from us quite frequently. My husband and I do about 95% of the assistance. We told my mother-in-law that her location is making things very hard for us, and we suggested that she move closer or live with us so that we can more easily assist her as she ages. Mother-in-law did not like that and refused, but still expects our help. What suggestions do you have that can help our situation? And that's from Shannon.
Shannon, bless your heart. I know I say that not in the Southern sense.
not a condescending sense. And truly, you have a good heart that you would even ask her to move in with you or any of that when she intentionally did not help you out as you were raising your kids.
Yeah, well, and also in the sense of you're asking something impossible. The reason I say that is, yeah. Let me rephrase your question, okay? Because what you're really asking is, how can I say no to my mother-in-law and have her like it? Right, that's what you're asking. You know, is there any way that I could get my mother-in-law to not get what she wants and have her be happy with that? No, Shannon, I'm sorry. There is, and I get where you're coming from. So, but I think you need to reckon with that, all right? Because as Christians, and again, as people who were taught that we want to honor our mothers and fathers,
charitable to everyone.
There's a very good impulse behind all that. Okay, but St. John Paul was big on reminding us that as Christians, our call is not just to be loving, but it's to be responsible as well. So his first book was Love and Responsibility, and really talks about how, and this is really affirmed in the document he started before he passed, and then Pope Benedict XVI finished Deus Caritas Est, where he talks about the difference between love and sentiment, where sentiment is, you know, it's kind of driven by feeling, I want to do something, I feel like I have to do something, I feel like I have to make this better, whereas love is driven by whatever it is that I do, I have to make sure I'm working for their ultimate good. Okay. And so that fits in here, because working for your mother-in-law's ultimate good is going to mean frustrating her, because what she wants isn't actually good for her or possible to achieve. And if you try to give her what she's asking for, you're going to drive yourselves crazy and become unhealthy.
And erode your own marriage.
And you may not be able to help give her the help that she actually requires.
And I want to say here that this is something that we deal with all humans, right? They don't want to do it anybody else's way. And when we have young children, if we know, hey, they really don't even know how to put on Velcro shoes yet. They don't know how to put on a shirt yet. I will just help them. You'll always get the, I'll do it myself. I want to do it myself. And we realize that they have to try to get their shirt over their heads and their head through the neck and their arms through the sleeves. And they have to battle that out for a little while till they either succeed or they ask for the help. And we don't do this when we're in this situation with adults, for the most part. We're trying to respect them. We can look into the future and see what needs they're having or going to continue to have in bigger amounts. And she might benefit from just you setting the set point of, this is when we can be here, and then letting her figure the rest of it out for now till she comes to a place where she's wrestled with the fact that she's aging and needs more help and is willing to accommodate what you need.
So practically speaking, let's break this down. You can present her with certain options. Okay, Mom, if you want to continue living where you're at, this is when we can come, and we can't come otherwise. You know, this is what we can come, this is what we can do from a distance. And that is what we can do for you. But that's not going to address a whole lot of other concerns or needs that you have, so you're going to need to figure out how to do that. And I'm happy to, you know, offer any input or support. You know, if you have a question about, well, is this service better than that service, I'm happy to help. But I can't fill in the gap beyond this. If you need more help than that, then you can live with us, or you can live closer. We'll help you find a better place to be that's closer to us. But barring those two things, this is what we can do for you. And she's not going to like it. But that's okay, because the goal here, right, is for you to present the healthiest options and then respect her free will to choose what she wants to do. God deals with us that way. That's how God always says, hey, Greg, this is the best thing to do. You could do something else if you want.
Yeah, knucklehead. But
I can
this
only,
is what I
but
can,
I can
do
only
for you.
Give you the most grace if you do this.
Right.
And then if I say, yeah, Lord, that's nice and everything, but I'm going to go over here. It's like, I mean, you can do that if you want, Greg. I'm just saying I'd prefer you do this instead.
It'd be better for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, God, okay, that's cool, fine. I mean, and then he lets me go and realize at some point that was kind of dumb. You know, and we have to do the same thing with other people. We cannot ordain ourselves to do more for others than even God can do for us. We can present the invitation to do the healthiest and the best thing. But we also have to respect the other person's choice to not do that and learn on their own that they might need to come to it later or never. But we've still done our bit. We have not been dishonoring to our parent or shirking our responsibility by swooping in and trying to force an issue. Now, if she's really in danger.
Right. If she's in a situation where she can't be cooking because she could set the kitchen on fire, or she's having falling accidents, or any of that kind of thing.
There are legal ways to address that, right? You would contact the Department of Aging in her area, have a social worker come and do an evaluation. If she's a danger to herself in some way, then there can be a legal process that's put into place that can compel her to go someplace where she could be safe. But short of that, the only thing that you can do is say, Mom, this is what we can do from where you're at. Here are the other options that we can come up with to bridge that gap. If you don't like those choices, you're a grown-up. Figure something out. I don't mean to be flip about it, but I mean, that's really kind of how you have to approach this, because otherwise you're saying, Mom, just tell us what to do. and then we will build our whole lives around it. That sounds sounds lovely in theory, but it's not possible. That's not the life that you have. And so to honor the life that God has given you and the responsibilities that God has given you primary control over, you have to approach it this way. And she gets to choose whether she wants to accept that help or not. That's what I call kind of, you know, offering a qualified yes. It's, yes, Mom, I would love to help you. Here's what we can do where you're at. Here's what we could do if you moved here. Here's what we could do if you moved there. If you don't like those options, you're free to come up with other options.
And therefore, you are respecting her as an independent adult. That is what she is asking for. You are respecting the dynamic that she set up all these years where she didn't want to be the caregiver of your children and involved in your family life. So you're respecting her own personality.
And this isn't payback, though.
No, you're not being hostile about this. You're respecting who she is. And then you're just monitoring those needs to make sure that she's meeting them. You're doing what you can do without sacrificing your marriage and your well-being. And then she can begin to either solve those problems, or she'll get to a point where she'll be more humble and be able to say, okay, now you're right. Now I need some real help getting to some place where I can get more help.
Right. But again, there, I want to end where I started. You're going to have to begin this whole process by recognizing that there is nothing you can do that is going to make her happy, right? Except to bend your whole lives around where she's at right now.
And I promise you, even if you do that, she won't be happy.
And it's not possible, right? So go back to the original question you asked, right? You know, is there some way I could not give Mom what she's asking for and still have her be happy? No. All right, but that's okay, because you can present reasonable options that work for you and would meet her needs, and then you give her a choice about what she's willing or able to do. And you respect that, because that's how God treats us. Thank you so much for the question. If there's more we can do to support you through this, don't hesitate to reach out to us here again on the show. 877-573-7825. Today's show titled, You Need to Hear This. As we talk about listening and communicating and how to break through the barriers that stop us from being able to get another person to accept our help, get another person to meet our need, to be there for us the way we need them to communicate a concern. Or for that matter, if someone's trying to talk to us and they're accusing us of not listening, and maybe, you know, we're trying our best, but we don't know how to break through. Well, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day. It comes to us from Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13.
Boy, does this hit the nail on the head. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame.
Yeah, so again, you know, going back to the reflection that we had at the beginning of the show, we all want to be understood. But the best way to be understood is, and I know it sounds like a cliche, but is to understand. Because that gives us the power to understand why we're not being understood. And why our need isn't being met, or why that person is struggling to show up for us. And then by being able to understand that, we can address it and problem solve together. So we get our needs met, our concerns addressed, our efforts to help received in a way that's actually compassionate and actually helpful and actually real. Right? So keeping this verse in mind, you know, we need to remember, if one gives answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. Proverbs 18:13. We're taking your calls on the challenge of listening, of being understood. On our show titled, You Need to Hear This, 877-573-7825. If someone you care about is struggling to really hear you, to listen, to get where you're coming from, or you're having a hard time getting them, we're going to help you break through those barriers to building better communication. 877-573-7825.
This Ave Maria program brought to you in part by the following nonprofit.
One of the greatest threats to your family isn't a disaster or a virus, but addiction. In nearly every family and every pew, someone is silently struggling. Beginning July 11th, Shalom World TV and the iThirst Initiative present Unshackled, a powerful new series on the Catholic Church's response to the addiction crisis, bringing together leading voices to discuss real healing. Stream it free at shalomworld.org or on the Shalom World app today.
Are you struggling with a persistent emotional or relationship problem? Maybe those thoughts and feelings won't leave you alone, or your marriage has grown distant, or a wound from your past still aches. Too many of us tell us that we should be able to handle it alone, or that good Catholics shouldn't need help. That's not true. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of CatholicCounselors.com. My team of pastoral counselors will help you find solutions rooted in solid psychology and our Catholic faith, so you don't have to choose between getting real help and staying true to what you believe. Visit CatholicCounselors.com and discover how we can help your faith, life, and relationships flourish.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The devil will always do his best to tempt you into sin until you get to that place where you love sin. That's what he wants. He wants you down there with him. And not because he loves you, he hates you. When you do what the enemy tempts you to do, he does it out of pure hatred.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, you need to hear this. It's the name of the show as we talk about communication and the struggle to really hear and be heard. 877-573-7825.
Anne called in from where she's listening in Temple, Texas, and she said, I've been through marital counseling for 4 years, but it just seems like my husband isn't paying attention at all. He is always distracted by something.
Anne, thank you so much for the question. So first, I want to encourage you to address this directly with your counselor, because I don't know what's happening in the sessions. But in part, it's the counselor's responsibility to point out when he or she thinks a client might be resisting for some reason or being distracted or not following through on things. But sometimes the counselor might not see that because the client is saying all the right things in session.
Yeah, or behaving just in a way that makes them think they're being thoughtful. Or
and it's important then that the client bring up, hey, I don't think things are moving the way I would like them to because this is what I'm observing. Because being honest and direct with your counselor about what you see as the process here is really important. And I think, you know, being able to say in the next session, hey, look, you know, I appreciate everything you're trying to do, but there are a lot of times where I just feel like my husband is really distracted and not paying attention and, you know, saying the right things here, but then not following through. And I don't know how to get past that. Like, I don't know what my role is in holding him accountable. I don't know what my role is in letting it go. I feel like, you know, he's coming to kind of, you know, and to check the boxes,
right,
but not really following through. And I don't know what to do about that.
And what are the tasks we need to be doing when we're not in this office so that we can be exercising these things and learning these things and we're both paying attention to each other's needs?
I always want to respect the counseling relationship, but I also always have an obligation to, you know, get a point what the research says. Make sure that your counselor is actually trained in marriage counseling.
And just ask them.
Yeah, because a lot of times individual counselors will also see couples, but they're not necessarily trained to do that. And people who have actual training and have done supervision in marriage and family counseling tend to have about an 80%+ success rate with marriage counseling, where individual therapists who have not trained in marriage counseling but quote-unquote also see couples have about a 30% success rate. So couples counseling is a very different discipline than individual counseling, and you just can't also see couples. So make sure that the counselor has that kind of training. But at the very least, in the next session, make sure that you mention this. Now, I will say, you know, beyond that, people don't tend to change if the current system is working for them. So, and I see this a lot in marriage counseling, where, you know, why would the husband change or why would the wife change? They're getting everything they want, right? And for them to change would feel threatening to them. So part of the process of change is frustrating your husband's ability to continue getting everything that he wants. Now, I don't know what that means in your context, but you know, he's getting the issue isn't that he's getting everything that he wants. The issue is that he's getting it in a way that's unhealthy for your relationship. And so you, in order to change the thing, you have to be able to say, look, I can't continue to give you these things that you're asking me for in the way you're asking for them. Whether that's him asking you directly in unhealthy and disrespectful ways, or him, you know, that you've just created a sick system in your relationship.
That developed an expectation.
But I can't continue serving you in this way, although I would very much like to give you what you're looking for if we could approach it like this.
And also really listen to what Greg is saying there, because this is not flipping back to, you know, decades ago where wives went on strike and just stopped doing everything to get, you know, their husband's attention and a change. It's very much that letting them know this is what is going to have to change so that they can step up and meet your needs.
Right, because this goes to what healthy boundaries are. So a healthy boundary doesn't cut somebody off or say, no, I'm not going to do that. A healthy boundary says, hey, here's a healthy way I could do that for you. You know, you're asking me for X. Well, I can't do it the way you're asking me because it's not convenient or it doesn't fit my schedule or I don't have the resources for it or the skills. But I could help you this way. Would you like that? And then they can say yes or no, right? So you're going to need to learn how to do that in order to motivate your husband to change the dynamic in your marriage. Because as long as you guys are just talking about it and he's continuing to get his needs met without changing, he ain't going
to
change.
Yeah, he's just going to yes you to death, as my mother used to say it. Okay, all right, and then nothing happens.
So that's the dynamic you need to address in counseling, right? And if you'd like to download the podcast and play this in your next session, or just play it for your husband and use it as a conversation starter for your next session, I'd encourage you to do that, because that's really the dynamic. And your husband might not even realize that he's doing that. You know, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. But that's, generally speaking, when clients relate this dynamic to me, or I experience it in my own pastoral counseling with a client, it's because the spouse, whichever spouse, is getting what they need. And for them to change would threaten that.
Well, and this, again, goes back to what we were talking about with Shannon, with her mother-in-law.
Right.
You know, her mother-in-law is getting all her needs met. The only people who are suffering, the only people who are serving, the only people who are sacrificing are Shannon and her husband.
Yeah, and you know, if
that's not mutual self-donation.
If I'm in a particular mindset, I'm okay with you suffering as long as I get what I need.
Because we all, as human beings, have a tendency to treat each other as things instead of persons. So if we meet everybody else's needs and they don't have that discomfort of having to be mutually self-donative, as St. John Paul II would call it, then they just see us as a machine, like a robo-vacuum or something like that. You're just getting the job done. I don't actually have to meet any of your needs.
And I don't think your husband's intentionally doing that. I think he was taught to sort of see relationship in this light.
Most of us were.
But I think that needs to be addressed in the sessions. And nothing's going to change as long as the two of you are talking about it. See, especially if you've not been trained in marriage counseling, especially if you're one of those individual therapists who also sees couples, the presumption is, well, if they're both here, they want to work on it, and they see that the relationship needs to change. Like 98% of the time, that's not true in marriage counseling. In marriage counseling, there's one spouse who wants to change the relationship, and the other person is perfectly fine with the way it is. And so the challenge there is to really be able to get past that and not assume that the couple that's coming to you is working on this relationship as a team, because they probably aren't. And that's actually the root of the problem. And so being able to deal with that, otherwise you're going to get stuck in a constant, well, let's just meet every week and keep talking about this relationship, and nothing will change because there really isn't the commitment to. Why would I change if I'm getting everything that I need? So address that dynamic. If there's more we can do to support you in that, don't hesitate to reach out to us. Our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, especially the chapter on mutual respect and kind of learning from each other, accepting influence, would be really helpful for the two of you, and you could discuss that in your counseling sessions as well. Or if you'd like to work with folks who have been trained in Catholic approaches to marriage and family counseling, you can also reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But do address these concerns with your present counselor first. All right. We've got about a minute left, and so just to kind of wrap this all up, I want to start where end where we began. We have a tendency when we're not being heard to double down and just say, but you really need to listen. I'm going to encourage you to step back in those times. And instead, here's a healthier way, a more effective way to get what you're looking for. Instead of pressing your understanding of the conversation, step back and say, can you tell me what you're hearing me say? Instead of continuing to insist that they address your need, say, hey, look, help me understand. I've brought this concern to you. How do you feel that helping me with this would make your life harder? Because I want to address that if there's some concern. What can we do to help you feel better about helping me with this too? By taking that time to really understand what the resistance is, what the concerns are, that gives you power to move forward in a compassionate, generous, and truly loving way. If you'd like to learn more, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace by connecting you with a truly faithful, professional Catholic counselor. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in. Get out there and celebrate the life God has for you.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.